What's up, Karma Nation? Welcome back. Another edition of the Golf Teeing It Up podcast. I'm your host, AC, with DFS Karma and Bet Karma. And as always, Sam Sherman joined me. We'll talk everything DFS, golf, props, outright bets. We'll talk a little bit about last week, different kind of tournament last week. And then we'll get into the Valero Texas Open. The Masters is right around the corner. So I think everybody's kind of juiced up and ready for that. I know I am. Sam, last week, how did betting go? How did kind of the prop world go for you? And then DFS, I know, was different for match play. I always hate that setup. I did not fare well at all with the one lineup I made in the match play tournament. I didn't even play Corrales. I don't know if you did, but how'd your week go? And did you get to watch much golf?
Yeah, I mean, I watched that tournament. People talk about it. It's kind of sucks from a viewing standpoint after the first 3 days. I think it's kind of cool with the chaos of like 32 matches going on, but the weekend, like, I don't know. I think match play is cool and they should do it more, but from like a viewer on TV, it kind of blows because, like, especially Sunday, Horschel and Scheffler played like so bad. I think there was like one birdie the entire like final match, which kind of sucked. But yeah, I ended up somehow breaking even because I had, again, I mean, if you built right, you had a decent chance. I mean, there was so much carnage. So I had three guys in my best lineup going into the, you know, or Sweet 16 portion of it. And then, of course, they all lost. I needed, like, Sergio, not the choke. And that was whatever. But my bets, I don't know. I only made a couple because, like, this tournament is so random, as it showed. I had Fleetwood, who was playing really well, but I don't know. I ended up breaking even because my one lineup, I did have Horschel and he came through. But yeah, that tournament is more just fun to watch, I guess. I mean, it's cool to see. I mean, even someone who I always play, and of course I didn't last week, Brian Harman, I don't remember what match it was. I think it was like a final four when he made like eight.
That is your guy, by the way.
No, and it's funny. I play him all the time. He's like a good value play. And like, I hate the guy because he's such a loser and hits the ball like 100 yards, but I always play him. Yeah, yeah, I mean, good on Horschel. I mean, to win that many matches in a row is pretty badass. Scheffler just, I don't know if he got tired, but I know you were on him on a bet. Did you hedge with Horschel or did you just let it ride?
Yeah, I did. I didn't even drop the screen. You know what? Like, it's not sexy. Like, it was the first hedge win of the season. It's weird, right? It's bittersweet. It's like, yeah, I bagged some profit, and I kind of let people know if anyone tailed in the betkarma.com Discord chat. Because the reality is, Sam, as you know, you want profit, right? And when push came to shove, I did. I wasn't happy about it, but I just had a feeling, especially Billy. I mean, he's the Billy versus Scotty. I felt like that was a no-brainer. Like, I wanted Scotty to win. I had more money on the line, and frankly, I'm a Scotty fan. But I kind of knew going into it that I absolutely had to do that because I didn't trust Scotty versus Billy. And frankly, it's the right, you know, EV move to do, right? I mean, if you have a situation – freaking back, right? I mean, it's not like there's six guys left and maybe somebody goes on a run. You know, that's different. Of course, I hedged there too. I haven't really hit many hedges at all this year. But yeah, it wasn't sexy, but I did secure some profits quickly. Shout out to the YouTube fam. Anybody, Apple, YouTube, any medium that you guys are listening to us, if you can, give us a quick thumbs up, maybe a little comment. That helps us all out. All of our content and predictive analytics and simulations, everything is at dfskarma.com and slowly growing at betkarma.com. You can find our cheat sheets, Sam's content, and their core plays. I mean, these are the same lineups that you can tail us in that we're spending thousands of dollars on. And generally, we've had incredible success the last few years and another great year. So you can find all that under the subscriptions button at dfskarma.com. All right, so cleared the housekeeping. Now the fun stuff. We get to talk some golf. Yeah, I was it was my wife's birthday on Saturday, so we were out. And ironically, even as much as I made fun of, you know, this tournament, I actually watched more golf than I thought because it was pouring rain Sunday. It was just like one of those weird Sundays, like dreary, rainy. I'm hungover. I mean, I just was staring at the TV. Yeah, classic Ohio, right? So I did. I got to watch a lot of golf, and it was just so boring. There was just nothing happening. But
yeah, more golf. They can't fill out. And it's funny, like, even when there's only, like, four guys in the course, they, like, still don't show all the shots. It's, like, amazing. Like, I don't know how coverage is that bad, but.
Cool to listen to the caddy talk, though. Cool. You
know? What do you say?
You get to hear more of the caddy talk because they're not going shot to shot.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Corrales, good on Joel Dahman, first win. Like,
oh, my God, dude, I forgot. My God, Joel. Yeah, I mean, he came through and
won. Yeah, Twitter had a frenzy about it because everyone, like, loves Joel on Twitter. His caddy on Twitter, I think, is really funny. Gino, he's a cool dude. But
yeah, I don't follow
his reaction. His reaction to winning was, like, just – it was so genuine. It was really cool to see. Honestly, I did watch the end of Corrales because I wanted – I mean, I'm assuming you didn't watch it, but, like, Rafael Campos, who plays on Euro, I mean, he literally hit a putt that I thought was so good. I could not believe it went out, but that's how Dahman won. So good on him. That's awesome. He always says his interviews are awesome. If anyone wants to check him out, because he's a good dude. And literally the definition of a grinder, even though that term is so overused. But yeah, right, on to this another week.
Talk about this course.
Yeah, I mean, this course is weird because it's, you know, there can be a lot of birdies made. You know, I think Corey Connors, that, you know, we love Corey Connors. He's the one who in 2019, he Monday qualified and then won this tournament at like 20 under, which is badass. But this course can get, I mean, they can go pretty low. The wind can be a huge factor, but the course is not like easy. I mean, the cut still is like two or three over. Like I said, if the wind gets up, it's harder. And I don't know, long shots just win here. I think there's a lot more volatility this week, like we have the last weeks. Like, you know, I think the average winner over the last 6 years per Vegas odds is like 140 to one or something. I mean, I think like Hoffman won at like 40 to one. Then you have like Corey Connors and Martin Laird. And I don't even know who else has won, but a lot of, I mean, Stephen Bowditch, people remember him, won. Jimmy Walker. So it's like kind of a random, but people who generally play well in Texas. I mean, Landry plays well in Texas. Chapel plays well in Texas. Jimmy Walker does. Connor. So, yeah, I mean, you got to hit the fairway. Even though the rough is not that long, you got to keep in the fairway, and then you just got to hit. I think a good stat to you this week is that Fantasy National Opportunities gained. The greens are kind of bigger, and then Bermuda putting. So the field, especially the DJ withdraw, is not, like, horrible. It kind of stinks, but it's kind of what you expect the week before a major. So it is what it is. Ricky Fowler, last chance to get in the Masters field.
Yeah, he's got to play well this week. I mean, I'm just having a hard time trusting. 8,100, it seems like he's still fairly priced. I mean, probably could be a little bit
cheaper. He literally has to win. Like, if he doesn't win,
I don't trust him. All right, game theory-wise, quickly, and then we're starting the gun in the barrel and running through this. Like, I'm taking a quick look live at pricing. It's Monday. I freaking love doing these videos on Monday nowadays because I like having first thoughts without, like, really even diving into anything. And, I mean, I think we could make two arguments here. One, we could say, you know, let's skip the guys up top and let's build balanced. I mean, looking at it first glance, I definitely can make the case for it. I mean, I see the Keegans. We'll get into the you love the Steels of the world. I mean, the Lantos are there. There's guys, I see our boy Sam Burns is down at 8,000. We'll get into some of these guys. But there are guys up top too, you know, from like Connors on up. I mean, Palmer reminds me of just Texas narrative. I mean, I'm assuming, I haven't even looked. I guarantee Ryan Palmer, I'm clicking now. Yeah, he's got incredible course history. He's actually missed the cut the last 2 years. But that's a guy that stands out to me. Speed's getting hot at the right time. I know he's 10,700. But, you know, the whole Texas narrative, I'm a buyer of it. The only comment I'll make up top is, I know, drum roll, I think we got to fully fade Scotty, my boy, and I'm sure the whole industry will say the same thing, but for me that takes a lot because he ranks first in my model still. Like, nothing's changed. He's a freaking legend. I still got a nice outright on him at the Masters at like 55 to one from about a month and a half ago. I think we got to fade him, dude, because he just looked grinded out Sunday. And the only reason, like I said, I was hungover watching so many shots. I mean, he played so much. And the first thing I thought early round, I was like, if Scotty's playing next week, I got to just take him out of my freaking pool. So I'm probably fading him. I'll probably start with like an answer or Connors, and I mean, or even a speed, dude. I mean, I love my boy Fee now, but I don't know. I mean, so that's what I'm thinking up top.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I don't mind. Yeah, Scheffler, I mean, if he gets really popular, I have no problem fading. He makes so many birdies. I will agree. I'm worried about the fatigue, but if that ends up bringing his ownership down, you know, if like the big, right, you know, the Pat Mayos of the world are fading Scheffler, then I'll be glad to go back in. I will say, I mean, I agree. I don't know. It's tough because with DJ out, it's like, you know, where does the ownership go? I think similar to the last like 2 months, I don't think anyone's going to make a decky at that price. And I have some interest just based on the fact that he's not going to be, I mean, the fact that I expect Finau, Spieth, Scheffler, Anser, Connors, Palmer to be minimum 10% each. I don't think Hideki's going to be 10% at all. I mean, and why would he be? So I think it's interesting.
I've been on that train for a while now. I mean, I get it. If he spikes and blows me and wins here, then so be it.
His range of outcomes is just, he has such a higher ceiling, I think, than a lot of these guys. He hasn't shown it in the last 2 years, but like, you know, he has won a lot. So yeah, I mean, Spieth, it's weird. I mean, I saw one of the CBS analysts, Kyle Porter, was saying since February 1st, I think on tour, Spieth is like fifth in strokes gained approach, which is interesting. I don't know. I mean, does he peak here? Does he peak at the Masters? I have no idea. You know, I'm not playing
Fiat. The Masters now, next week, by the way. I feel like it is. Dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I will plug our stuff for a second. Because like the Masters of November, I mean, we cleaned up. That was my best.
Crushed. Year, you know? We crushed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know my thing. Ryan Palmer sets up well. He's been playing well. He's a Texas guy, but like, if he's going to be chalk, I mean, I have no problem fading Ryan Palmer when he's chalk. That just doesn't work. He loves the water. There's only three water hazards, but he'll probably find all of them, honestly. Kind of going down, I mean, Charlie Hoffman is one here. He's been playing well. I do like him. You mentioned at the top, I like Steele. Matt Kuchar being 9,000 is hysterical to me because literally he played well in match play, like, which is a completely different format, and now he's like 9,000. That's hilarious.
The more similar to Scotty. I mean, Matt Kuchar played, 36 holes on Sunday? I mean, that is the easiest fade, I think, in the history of fades coming out.
He hasn't played well in a stroke play event in like at least a year.
Yeah, easy max him out of your pool. I mean, right now, like my eyes, if we're talking now 9,000 and above, I mean, the guys that just are popping to me. And of course, you made a great point. If people are moving the needle with ownership, someone check out, you know, the projections portal guys, dfskarma.com. It uploads, it's free. The projected ownership updates throughout the week. Yes, I mean, my boy Scotty, if he looks like he's the lower owned guy, which I don't think, then maybe I'll come back to him. But right now, I'm getting exposure in some capacity to Spieth. And this is either the betting markets or my main DFS lineup. Spieth, definitely Abe Anser. The whole Texas to Mexico thing, I'm a firm believer. Like, you know, now we're down in San Antonio this week. I mean, that is as close as it gets to the border playing in a golf tournament. And like, yeah, that's
here's my question for you. You've moved to playing more like a lot of weeks, kind of playing like one lineup, maybe some MME. Would you like, at that price, would you play Spieth in cash?
I would consider it this week. Again, we haven't even come to, I haven't even looked at the 7K range. I'm going to look at it.
You're not Xing him out of a cash because, like, I don't know, just it's expensive for having.
No, I'm not because he plays very well historically in Texas, even when he's playing absolutely terrible, right? I don't have the numbers, but I feel like the last 3 years when he's been off, it's like he performs okay in Texas as is. And you know Spieth, it will do anything to take this current form he's on into the Masters and just show everybody up and freaking win. I mean, dude, he could win in the Masters. I mean, let's be real. It's like not out of the question anymore. Like all the haters on Twitter and stuff, like, it's probably parties.
My Spieth Masters bet. I'd love to see him win. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so for a main lineup, to answer your question, I'm considering right now up top for 9,000 and above Spieth. Abe Anser. I love Abe this week. I think I will start my lineup with Abe. You know, I'm a Corey Connors truther as is, but he'll probably be mega chalk, I'm guessing. 9,500, he won. He ranks fifth in my model. Anser seventh. Spieth is eighth. You mentioned Hoffman, and we've actually been talking. This is why the podcasts are fun for people that are on and watching kind of weekly. We've been actually picking up on Hoffman for like 6 weeks now. and you got him one week. I got him. Yeah, he ranked second in my model, and he's probably highly in play for MME. I don't know if I'd go there in cash, but those are the only four guys I'm considering up top. Tringali, yeah, Tringali.
I would say Tringali. I mean, he's not like he's playing any worse. Yeah, he's stud.
I will continue to fade Steele, though. So.
Oh, that's your mistake. Kind of moving down, I mean, weird. I don't have to check ownership. I'm hoping because he didn't have a tremendous performance. I mean, Chris Kirk has been playing well. I faded him at Mega Chalk, whatever the was it, Honda? I forget where he finished, but I don't know. I haven't decided yet because I've been riding that train for a while. Zach Johnson, obviously, I'm not playing. So Chalk Keegan is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Keegan,
I mean, if he's truly.
I don't even have ownership really yet. I would be willing to bet Keegan will be top 5% or top 5 ownership.
He's just putting well now. I mean, we all know he's a good ball striker as is. And the fact that we say he's putting well. I mean, he'll probably lose strokes the next 10 tournaments. But, I mean, two out of the last, he's kind of figured it out. You're marrying up
a guy?
Keegan's the guy that I would consider fading because if I start seeing that 25% ownership, it's like, all right.
Oh, my God. Keegan's that's like Kirk the easiest.
Or somebody else that's going to be lower owned.
Yeah. A guy who's kind of been playing a little better, who I think he'll get no ownership between Chalk Keegan and then Domin, who just won, and Ricky and everything. Adam Hadwin's like kind of been playing a little better. I won't say he ranks super high on my model, but he's a good Bermuda putter. He saves par, which you need to a lot of this time if it gets windy. He's been improving a little bit over the last. I mean, he's made his last 6 or 7 cuts, top 10, top 20. I don't think he'll be at all.
My quick answer is no, Adam Hadwin. He's just,
I don't know. He's the worst.
Good with his irons. He is an amazing putter. Like, he's a great, great putter. But like you mentioned out the gate, when I hear the greens are bigger and stuff, like, I kind of take these types of players out of the equation. That's why the Connors of the world, you know, Adam Hadwin is a neutralizer with his putter. So no for me there. What about, who's going to play Joel Domin? Come on, bro. He's going to be like 5%. I'm not playing him though.
Yeah.
Amber.
The next guy I kind of like, I have not played him in so long because he's always just chalked people like him, but I think people kind of finally sick of him and I kind of want to get back on his Harold Varner.
HV3, I mean, I've been one of those guys that have not been playing him, but he's got...
We fade every week, and it's like, okay, why is he going to be 18% owned? It's like, okay, cool, because people like him, and they like his Twitter. And it's like, okay, cool.
I play him because he's at that 7 price tag, right? He's 7,900. He kind of dips below. Yeah, it's a good play. I have been fading him. It hasn't hurt me, but it hasn't helped me.
No.
So it's kind of been like a neutral thing for me. But, yeah, he's playing very well with his irons, and we all know that that's kind of like the number one thing we're looking for is his ball striking's been great. Yeah, I mean, it's actually a really good price tag probably for DFS main lineup.
I'm not sure what your model puts out. I don't know why, for some reason, that Andrew Putnam is currently 10th in mine. I don't really even know what he does right now.
He's 47th with mine, but I know why. It depends. I mean,
good Bermuda putter, good bogey avoidance. He's kind of like, he's not a stud anywhere, but, like, you know, he doesn't rank anything worse than, like, top 50 in my stat stuff. So,
you know why I like Putman? Because nobody plays a guy that is a Euro guy. You and I know that. Like, yes, there's, like, 3% of the quote-unquote sharps, quote-unquote, that know kind of what's going on. Putnam is, like, man, I don't know what the analogy would be. Is a guy, I'm trying to think of a guy on the PGA Tour.
I don't know what he's the kind of guy, he'll just like out of nowhere miss 3 cuts and then come top 5 and then go back to missing cuts. That's just
Putnam's got game though. If he's in it, he's definitely got the upside. I like that call a lot. Like, you got to get weird, man. We know this. You have to have 1 to 2 guys. That's it. That's the formula. 1 to 2 guys, probably 2 low owned in a choppy lineup, and you're fine.
I don't know why Sebastian Munoz is 7,600 and is cheaper than Charles Howell, but. That's where we're at. Ryan Moore.
Charles Howell III.
I don't know why, like, Ryan Moore has this good course history, but hasn't, like, been relevant in a stroke play event in a very long time. So I don't know why he's...
Munoz is probably a good play. I mean, I wonder if he does get traction. He kind of goes in and out of flavor with some of the DFS people out there. That's interesting. I'm gonna put a little note next to him.
If you want some super high, you know, super volatile, but guys that play a lot, Sam Ryder came second last week. He makes a ton of birdies, also can make a lot of bogeys. Danny McCarthy was like a total DFS flavor of the month for a while, and then he missed like two cuts, so everyone doesn't play him anymore. They're kind of guys I think of decent value in that low seven range.
Wow, Woodland's down here. This talk about a guy who's just, this is golf, right? Like amateurs, pros, whatever. Like we didn't even mention Gary Woodland. He's 7,600. I mean, in normal years we'd be like, dude, Woodland's 7,600, mega chop, you know.
Yeah, I can't tell like where his head's at or what, you know. Are you playing some Phil Mickelson?
Absolutely. No, I never play Phil. Why would I play Phil here? Tell me why.
It just sounds like a random thing. You'd be like, Phil has been trending on the Champions.
No,
Jonathan Vegas, definite MME guy.
Yeah, he's definitely you're right. I mean, that's a great call. I like your call on McCarthy. Like, nobody would play Denny McCarthy, but like, he's been a guy that, I mean, he gets hot. He's definitely gets hot with the putter. Like, there's no doubt about it. But he's also pretty good with his irons. So I like that.
I can't decide if I want to play Lucas Glover. I keep playing him, and he's not even chalk. I just play him, and like, I know what's gonna happen, and then I like get mad. Anyway. It's like I know what he does.
Like, say something about him. Looking at him down here, I mean, yeah, he kind of stands out down here. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, I pivoted off of Chalk Furyk to Glover, and Glover didn't hold me back. I just think that he's just such a guy. Like you mentioned, we want guys that are going to score birdies here, right? I mean, I'm assuming this is like a 20-under type tournament. I mean, is that correct? Is that
what you're looking at? I mean, it just depends on the wind. Yeah, that's what Corey Connors won at. I think the year before it was like minus 17. I mean, if the wind gets up, it'll probably be like minus 10 or minus 12. But if it's not bad, I mean, the course is long, but yeah, there's four par fives, so they can just do a lot of damage.
Your boy John Huh is down here. He's been pretty consistent. I mean, he's only had one missed cut entire season.
Yeah, he's the problem is he's just kind of guy. It's like, I don't know. For a long time, I've not liked how a lot of people, he was on a pod, like, well, you know, he doesn't really, you know, he's good for cash because he kind of is just like boring, whatever. There's no upside. It's like, that sounds stupid, but it also makes sense. Like, he's more likely to make the cut than guys around him, but he's way less likely to finish top 10 if you played this out 1,000 times. So John Huh is like, I play him a lot and I love his name, but I probably, I don't know. I just would rather just take a risk and play Vegas or Ryder or McCarthy or Doug Gim, someone around him.
So I think this podcast has been pretty good because, oh, wow, Siwoo Kim, we didn't even say anything about him. He's 8,900. See, that's like a tweener.
I'm playing him for sure.
Gotta play MME, no doubt. Like, you mentioned that. Like, yes, right now, just because my current, like, honestly, dude, lifestyle, everything I'm doing behind the scenes with DFS Karma, Bet Karma, building a home, my life is just out of control. But my personal strategy is, yes, one lineup a week, plus or minus MME if I have the time. So I'd say 3 out of 4 weeks, I'm doing some kind of at least 20 max entry, if not 150. When I see Siwoo, it's automatic I play him in MME. Like, you just always need Siwoo exposure. But a couple other guys below here, let me just name a couple guys real quick. Like, these are guys that pop off to me for MME. Or you could toss them in your main lineup, right? Because you need a couple lower owned guys. Seb Straka, I don't think he'll get any traction. Let's see. Matthew Naismith, I don't think many people will play him.
I have him in my player pool too. He just kind of always gets buzzed because he just, like, people have seen him score. I agree with Matthew Naismith. Yeah.
Oh, Ben Ahn, it's 7,500. I wonder if he'll get traction this week. I mean, talk about a guy who's extremely volatile. I mean, it's always scary playing him in your main lineup. I'm assuming in your model too, I haven't been paying attention. I've seen him on some leaderboard, but is Harry Higgs going to be popular this week? I mean, he's been really good with his approach shots. I mean, frankly, this entire calendar year, he just hasn't strung it all together, but it looks like it's starting to click. And we've talked about him in the past last year.
You know, I do. Like, I don't think he'll get popular. People liked him, but they don't really like to play him because he's like, I think it's as extreme, kind of like Benion. He makes like so many birdies, but he'll make like 7 birdies in a round and like 2 doubles and like 3 bogeys. Like that just, so he's a great scorer. I like him. I actually think he's not a bad outright. I think I saw him around 100-1. I haven't seen the adjusted with DJ out, but I do like Harry Higgs. That's a good Harry call Higgs on your part.
I would play in my main lineup. If I see this stupid DFS bubble and talk him up to 15%, I will not play him. So there you go. There's food for thought. If I see him less than like 5-7%, I'll take a stab maybe at him at 7,100. I like that price.
If we're doing a couple quick sub 7K, I like Nick Taylor. Like kind of a lot, actually.
Okay.
Nick Taylor, this, like,
I mean, you mentioned something him. I mean, I guess he missed that putt last week.
Yeah, he's good. I don't like him because he's so slow, but he is pretty good. I mean, I think he'll rate out pretty well in people's models and might get played just because, number one, he came second last week. But, like, a lot of these Euro guys with limited stats or Korn Ferry guys, like, you know, it'll only have, like, 3 tournaments. If those 3 are good, then it's like kind of like how Jim Furyk will pop people again because he hasn't had that many rounds. But you're going to play Furyk again?
Here's a guy. See, this is why I'm starting to already think that I really do like that top tier range of a few guys I mentioned, and then maybe just getting weird with a couple of these lower owns. I mean, Roger Sloan, I can already tell you he'll be less than 6%, right? I mean, is Roger Sloan going to be 10% owned?
No. He might be 2.
Like, he ranks 9th in my model. He's in the last 12 rounds, he's 1st in greens in regulation. He's 5th in ball striking. Dude, he's 9th in DraftKings scoring. I mean, I know some of the fields he played is a little bit different too, but who cares? I mean, you just 6,700, that unlocks those guys up top.
Can we just discuss that Brant Snedeker is 6,600 and Henrik Stenson is 6,400?
Those guys. I mean, the last time I played Stenson, he shit his pants in Mexico and withdrew, and I've never played him again. I swear to God.
I don't know. I just don't know if he just doesn't care, but like it's, yeah,
I've read somewhere that he's very, at his point in his life, he's very into helping his son. I guess his son is getting somewhat decent at golf, so I guess that's where all his focus is at.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere that's definitely not here. I mean, I think, was it the Honda, the last tournament out? I mean, he shot like 17, or was it the Players? I mean, he was like 17 over.
He'll figure it out because he's an elite ball striker, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough. Like, I think this week, especially, like, the bottom tier, you know, 64 and down is, like, really bad. Only guy I'll play 64 is probably Bo Ho, because I always play him. He'll miss the cut, but I always play him anyway.
Tyler Duncan's down here at 63. We've mentioned him a couple times in the past. He ranks 20th in my model.
No, he ranks, you know, all my stuff is, like, I have ranks kind of versus their DK price in Vegas. Duncan is like such a good ball striker, but he's like somehow even a worse putter than Keegan and Corey Connors. Like he just does not like know how to putt at all. Like it's crazy.
He just scared me off the Duncanator.
I mean, dude, I've played him for so many years. I've ever seen him on tour. He just doesn't. I don't know what his deal is. Yeah, you mentioned Roger. I like Roger Sloan. He kind of rates out pretty well for me too. I like that call.
All right, where are your thoughts at betting wise? Of course, you can always say somebody up top, but who do you? I mean, honestly, we give our picks away. If you're still listening, shout out to you guys making it this far. BetKarma.com, hop in the PGA package, and that's where we drop our premium plays. I can't even describe how many freaking units and dollars we won. It's been really surreal, not unreal, this calendar year again. So, who are you looking at this week? Give one pick for the peoples that are listening.
If I had to give one pick, I want to go long shot because long shot's kind of in here. I would say, do you have yours? If you have yours already, go ahead. I need to figure out mine.
Honestly, just because you brought him up earlier, and he's kind of like I used to bet him in the past a little bit. Sebastian Munoz, I don't even have his odds right now, but I'll probably add him to the card because I like him in this type of field, and I already know he'll probably be at least 75 or 80-1, if not 100-1, if I had to guess. But I like him.
He should be around there. I don't know if he got adjusted with DJ out. I have no idea. If I was going to pick kind of I kind of want to go with the narrative of like a long shot gonna get in the map. You know what? I'm gonna take kind of your guy that I'm gonna go Harry Higgs at 100-1.
Cool. I'll tell you on that. I just checked. Munoz is 80-1. That was, I mean, it's like I'm a sports encyclopedia book in my head. Swear to God, I wasn't looking at that. I literally will tell you, I'm kind of pulling that up right now. I like that bet with Harry Higgs. So, yeah, as always, betkarma.com. Head there, get the other picks, and, you know, look forward to another good week. And then, dude, we probably should do our Masters podcast maybe a little bit earlier so that can drop potentially for the weekend. So we'll try and get that out to you guys because the Masters is fun and pricing's already out for it, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, as soon as pricing's out, you'll see it on dfskarma.com. I'll have article this week, article for that next week. I've been working on some new tools for golf and everything, so maybe I'll put those in Discord.
Okay.
So I'm on over.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.